listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines, and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket, teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town. So OBM can tackle any of your copier problems, and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns. Visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. Nathan and I can attest the machines are humming in this building.
They are.
They produce nice copies. I'm holding
beautiful
up one
copies
right now to the microphone. This is Cleveland Browns Daily.
You'd think it was the original.
You'd think it was the original. So pristine.
That's pristine.
Did we sell that enough? Yeah. Let's go into some sound, because we had some good points that were made by others nationally. You brought it up a little earlier. We teased this. Drew Brees, quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, appearing on NFL Network, I believe it was, and he was asked what advice he would give Johnny Manziel.
I think just like any young player, there's going to be good times, and then there's going to be struggles. And I think at the end of the day, it's about handling that adversity when it does come through, and then also handling the success as well. I mean, I use Russell Wilson as an example.
Yeah, so, and why Drew Brees? Because so many comparisons physically, they're almost the same height and weight in terms of just their frame. And their games, though, are different. I stop. That's really where the comparisons stop, because Brees plays a different kind of game. It's very much a pocket traditional style quarterback, whereas Manziel, I like the way they both do play. I especially like Manziel's play fakes as much as anything. I know that's the thing. People want to say, well, how's he throwing it? Oh, he's throwing it fine. But I the little things, the detail things, selling those play fakes, however he learned that along the way, because he came here hitting the ground running on that. I'm sure he's gotten some further guidance here. I'd say of all the quarterbacks, no one sells play fakes better than Johnny Manziel does, but he's doing more booting and rolling out, and I think more pocket buying time and mobility than Brees. He was asked about just his thoughts in general, Brees was, about Manziel, and basically says he feels bad for the guy.
Yeah, the guy can't go anywhere and do anything, especially socially or just on his own time, without it being scrutinized, you know, which is unfortunate.
It's tough, and that's, you know, but that's, as Johnny said, listen, I'm going to live my life, and that's basically on the media and just the society that we live in, and that's got to be tough, because as a young player, you know, when Drew Brees was a rookie, he was able to just go in there, handle his business, do what he had to do to get better and become a great professional. Johnny Manziel has to deal with a lot of distractions, but I think if anything is clear, it is that he is putting in the work when he needs to. He's putting the work when he's not here. All his time in Cleveland has been work-related because, Vic, as you pointed out, he is getting quicker in his reads. He's getting quicker in his decisions to get rid of the football. He's seeing the right guys at a quicker pace, and it's getting better. Is he perfect yet mentally? Of course not. No. He's got a long way to go, but he's getting better. The signs of progress are tangible, and without, you know, giving away too much today, I thought he followed up what I thought was his best day of practice last week on Thursday before that they went, or last Wednesday, I'm sorry, Wednesday, the media day. The one, yeah. Then they were off Thursday. They had practice Friday. He was in L.A. for the premiere, but I thought that last Wednesday was his best practice, and then I thought he followed it up today with an even better look.
Yeah, in general, I'm seeing the progress made on what he recognizes quicker. And you know his best work tends to be, and I know this is true with a lot of quarterbacks, but his best work is see it, step in, and throw it. And he seems to be doing more of that than he was certainly at the very beginning. And I'm not going to say he ever looked lost, but he certainly made more mistakes than we're seeing now. Still got some mistakes that are being made, for sure. Still, I think, getting used to dealing with NFL size in front of him. The O-line, the D-line, the bigger people that are around him, and maneuvering with them. I think he's getting different pictures and looks than he did at the collegiate level. Not that those were mostly small guys by any means, and a lot of them, many of them end up being NFL players that he played against, but many of them are not, and for different reasons, not the least of which is kind of the physical presence that these guys have at the collegiate level, where he could dominate because of his ability to move and see and find those lanes. He's still doing that here. I think it's a greater challenge for him to clearly see those lanes. I think his arm most of the time looks really good, but I'll say there are times when his arm to me looks like, okay, the kind of arm that a guy who is that size possesses. His best throw, his, you know, his, he, when he smoothly delivers the ball in a way that just is natural, not forced, you see a good delivery, you see the ball travel tight, tight spiral. They call it the heavy ball. It's got a lot of rotations. But when you see him at times hesitate a little bit and then try to arm a throw, that's when, you know what I mean? I don't think physically it's as natural for him to do that. Some quarterbacks can atone for or cover what they missed or saw because their arms are just so good. I don't know most of the time if that's going to be Johnny Manziel. Not really sure that that's always happening.
No, but I think he certainly has. I think he's got a good, strong arm there. But yeah,
solid, yeah.
But really, when you see him, you know, when he's got his mobility, but from the pocket, he's improved tremendously. That's where he's going to have to win to be able to win ultimately in the NFL, because we got a glimpse today of him doing some running. When he takes off, boy, is he quick. But that is not what you want him to do a lot. Now, Kyle Shanahan coached RG3 in Washington, said RG3 and Johnny are very similar in a USA Today article, and Mark Brunell weighed in on that and was asked, is it right to compare RG3 and Johnny?
Kevin, it's very accurate. In fact, Kyle Shanahan is spot on. Two quarterbacks that are very similar. Both are intelligent. Both have great mobility, the ability to create with their legs. RG3, at this stage of his career, he's learning the importance of staying in the pocket. Kevin, it's dangerous out there. You can get hurt out there. He understands for their offense to be effective, he's got to stay in the pocket. And this is where Johnny Manziel is. He needs to understand that. We all know that he has that ability to create. But he has to understand that he must operate within the framework of the pocket. That is how those pass plays are designed.
You know, I think he faces, Manziel, a greater challenge learning how to function in an offense that doesn't allow him to do as much as he did at the collegiate level, because it really can't, because the risks are great. Now, I'm not suggesting he's got to be reinvented or change dramatically. He's still going to be the guy, and I think allowed to be the guy, that he has been. What his best assets are: moving, manufacturing, making plays that way. But there has to be consciousness of his avoiding those collisions, and that's built into, I think, the system, the scheme, how he's being coached, the mechanics of what he's learning. And in some ways, I'm sure this is making his head spin and swim, but it's prudent. It makes sense. Dale Loggins, the quarterback's coach, Kyle Shanahan, they've got to make those points, drive those points home. And I'd go as far as to say, at some point, get him specific baseball training sliding, because the slide is the thing that he's going to need. That's going to be his best friend.
It is going to be his best friend. Get down, get out of harm's way. But what I like about the way that these OTAs are structured, given that there isn't the hitting, et cetera, he's basically getting a pocket quarterbacking boot camp. That's really all he's doing right now. That's what they're working on. None of the improv. He's just becoming a pure pocket passer. Brunell was asked how long it will take Johnny to be comfortable in the pocket.
And early on, I'd get back. I was a one-read guy. If that first guy wasn't open, man, I was gone. It took 2 years for me to feel comfortable to go through my progression, trust the offensive line. The game slows down after a while, and that's where Johnny Manziel needs to get.
For whatever this is worth, by the way, so this past weekend, Jim Kelly, the Hall of Fame quarterback, has his annual golf tournament. And sadly, Jim's not able to attend. He is in the hospital. He's being treated for cancer. And it's cool that a lot of people, Dan Marino, among others, have visited him in his hospital at the hospital in Buffalo. But his tournament is going on. And I bring it up because I was there at the hotel, kind of the headquarters of the tournament, to visit with a whole bunch of NFL people in town there in Buffalo. And, Nathan, I can't tell you how many people came up to me and said how great it is that the Browns selected Johnny Manziel. It's getting high marks from former NFL players. Jim Kelly's father, Joe Kelly, said, I love that kid. I love that kid. That kid's going to be special. And he's saying it in front of, now that he's from Western Pennsylvania, so a few of the party that's playing golf came up from Western PA. He says, and they looked at me and said, you know, just for the record, we're Steeler fans. I said, yeah, I gathered as much. He says, but we're pretty excited about Johnny Manziel being there too. He says, it's going to help that rivalry. I said, yeah, well, I hope it helps a lot, even more than that.
Yes.
But yeah, it was great to hear that feedback. And a couple of other players, former players, just talked Freddie Smirlis, our friend, our guest, uh-huh. who we'll have on from Boston, who played for the Bills, the five-time Pro Bowl nose tackle, said Manziel's the man. He says he just the way he carries himself. I love that quawky way he carries. He's got this Boston accent. Quawky way he kind of carries himself. That's the kind of guy you want at quarterback.
It is, and there's something about him. There is an innate a bit of leadership. And one thing I'll share from today that I loved, that I saw from Johnny Manziel, was after he led the offense down for a touchdown in one of the drills, he went and made sure he shook the hand and gave five and patted everybody on the helmet. Every single person was on the offense. He went and ran over to make sure he got Joe Thomas, everybody on the line, every receiver, every back who was in on that play. He went and made sure he gave them all a high five after that, which I liked. It's just a little thing.
That's leader-like behavior.
It's a leadership-type behavior. Mm-hmm. And Thomas had actually peeled off as soon as it was there, had his arms up for the touchdown, and it peeled off. So he got everybody and then saw Thomas about 15 yards away and actually sprinted over him to get Joe Thomas. And I thought that was a really cool, just a little thing that he does that is a smart thing and a good thing from Johnny Football.
Because it's recognizing what often gets lost in the shuffle and sometimes with celebratory stuff, whoever's involved, is that it isn't just the guy who caught it and it isn't just the guy who threw it. A lot of other people had roles in a success of a play, including, by the way, the coach who called it
right.
and designed it and those things. So, yeah, it's a bigger – and I think if you have that bigger picture understanding, and you're right, that's an encouraging scene.
It is an encouraging scene. And I think he's learning also from watching a guy who is a great leader himself and a guy who understands what it is to be a leader in Brian Hoyer.
Yes.
Brian Hoyer is a guy who out there knows how to command the team leading. And I saw him coaching up Johnny.
Yeah.
He is a consummate professional. And right now he's moving the ball. He's moving around well, playing well. It's going to be a fun competition, I think, to watch as this offseason unfolds. But to be, you know, for Johnny to get to watch a guy in Brian Hoyer who watched a guy in Tom Brady who is, you know, arguably the best leader in the NFL at his position, it's a good thing. And just to see him kind of picking up on some of those subtleties from Brian Hoyer, I thought was very good today.
No, and hearing the descriptions of those who saw Brian Hoyer in New England, who were around him, and basically whatever Tom Brady did, he was doing it. I mean, and whatever he would mimic his movements in practice. He would mimic.
He looks like him a little bit on tape.
And not just the on. No, and I mean, not even just the way he throws it. I mean, how he you know, kneels on the sideline or whatever he does. This was Hoyer attached himself like glue to this guy. He was the shadow, which is a smart thing and a great lesson. And you're right. Now he's imparting that experience, that knowledge to a young guy who absolutely can benefit from that. And I think is smart enough to take in what he needs to take in. I don't know that Johnny has any one, will tell you that there's any one influential person on him football-wise, because he's kind of his own thing, his own way. And it makes sense that he shouldn't copy anybody else, but he certainly can draw certain things. And in that scene you describe as far as congratulating and letting everybody know this is a team thing, we're in this thing together, I'm part of a team, I'm not just my own entity. These are encouraging signs. These are the kinds of things that I think, you know, I more than worried about, said it on this show, I want to see evidence that those assumptions or those, not those assumptions, but those fears can be mitigated. We want to thank for being part of this show Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram. We want to thank Terry Pluto from Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Want to thank our outstanding producer, Jason Gibbs, for putting this together. Gibbsy. And stay tuned for Hooley and Gerard. That's coming up next. Bruce Hooley and Gerard Cherry. And we'll do this thing again tomorrow.
Big OTA report tomorrow.
We'll
That's
give you
right.
a breakdown of what happened on the field here in Berea. For Nathan, I'm Vic. You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go.
Third week of OTAs.